This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Pictures of the gang rape of a 16-year-old girl at a weekend party east of Vancouver were circulated on the internet via Facebook, police told reporters last week. But despite efforts to halt the spread of the images after the initial web posting was shut down, copies of the original images continued to spread across the internet. One of the lead investigators in the case stated the obvious, that the reposting of the photos is only making the horror for the victim worse. The girl's father told the Vancouver Sun, "For me, it's unbelievable that in this day and age, youth are so desensitized to crime and pornography." We're joined on the phone by Safe Teen Canada founder Anita Roberts and in the studio by Nanaimo Women's Resource Society Executive Director Leslie Clark. Welcome to People First Radio, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, the Pitt Meadows rave on the weekend of September 10th has become notorious due not only to the sexual assaults that occurred there, but also due to the way the young men involved shared pictures over the internet. What does this attack tell us about our society? Is it a harbinger of what is yet to come, or is it an isolated incident? Leslie Clark.
Well, I think that there's... I think that everybody is now sort of trying to deconstruct all of that in terms of what has happened. I think that it's complex and there's a whole lot of layers to this. I think that definitely the sort of social media has moved forward so quickly that, on one level, I don't think that necessarily we've all been educated in what it means to put information out there in the public sphere like that. I certainly think kids haven't been educated as to what that means. And I think there are other issues around this that are sort of also looking at the conversations that have happened after this attack happened in terms of what the girl's role in it was, what, you know, all that sort of thing. And I think that those are also conversations that need to happen that are of concern.
Anita Roberts.
The conversation I want to have is not so much, you know, the big media frenzy that happens after these events is good because it does expose the issue and brings it to the public attention. But the conversation I want to have is, what are we going to do about it? When are we going to implement safety programs in our schools, safety and empowerment programs for girls? If we were living in a rural village where there was a high risk of attack by tigers, surely we would not send our children into that jungle without the weapons or skills to survive the journey. And our girls, 25% of women will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime. The highest risk group is 14 to 18-year-old girls. So when are we going to become proactive instead of reactive? We need education. Parents need education. Teachers need education. And the girls need education, and oh my gosh, the boys need education. And there is an organization out there that provides this, schools-based education, and that's the organization that I founded, Safe Teen. And, we reach 25,000 youth a year, but we need to be this program needs to be in all the schools, my opinion.
Now, the rave scene itself, if we could still call it that, according to comments made by a veteran RCMP drug officer in the Vancouver Sun, has declined over a decade. Raves once involved drug use but little violence and a type of licensing and regulation. Now many raves are smaller, unregulated, held without security or police presence. Drug use has continued, apparently, and the presence of alcohol has increased. Police say that prior to the assaults at the Pitt Meadows rave, it was clear that the 16-year-old girl was unwillingly drugged with what investigators believe is most likely GHB, the so-called date rape drug. And I'm wondering if both of you could just tell us a bit more, for awareness building's sake, again, about GHB and the phenomenon of drugging in these cases. Anita Roberts.
Well, you know, the most common date rape drug out there is not GHB. It's alcohol, and that's always been the case. So I think that's really important. People can get pretty, you know, the whole idea of, you know, other drugs can be scary because they're more unknown. Alcohol we're more familiar with, but it remains the leading date rape drug out there. So let's just get that clear. The date rape drugs are being sold out of school lockers in schools. And that's really disturbing because it enters a kind of, premeditated element to what the boys are doing. And that was the case with a recent incident of what they call the Little Girl Slayer Clubs, where the grade 12 boys are seeing how many grade 8 girls they can sleep with before they graduate. And the use of the date rape drug was very prevalent in that. So, yes, it's disturbing. And I do think we need really, radical drug awareness training for kids in schools. We need to stop telling them, don't do drugs. We need to start telling them, here's what the drugs are, here's what they look like, smell like, feel like, here's what they do to you, here's the effect of them on you, and here's how you can be more alert, more aware of the likelihood of this happening to you so that it doesn't happen.
Leslie,
education.
Leslie Clark.
Yeah, I would agree, and I agree with the comment earlier also about young girls not necessarily knowing what it is that, are prepared for what's going to happen for them. But I think it's a two-part piece and definitely about educating boys, because the question all of this comes, at what point, like we have a program for young girls called the Go Girl program that talks to young girls about safe decision making and, pretty openly about a lot of these things. But the other thing is it has to be a two-part piece because girls being... A lot of the conversations come out around this is around girls being prey. And it's did you set yourself up for that? Because the assumption being that you are prey and that therefore, if you make a wrong move or whatever, then in a sense, then it's your fault. And I think a lot of girls, this has come out because of the whole media piece, but this happens to a lot of girls that it's never, ever reported because they take responsibility onto themselves.
Absolutely.
And I think that we need to talk to, we also need at the same time to be talking to young men about their responsibility in this and to be talking about peers, about social responsibility, which is a big piece that you also see missing in this whole thing.
Now, here's audio from an RCMP media conference, which was held Friday, the 17th of September. It's a couple of minutes long. I'd like to play this clip for you.
Rich Meadows RCMP are investigating complaints that stem from a rave that occurred on Friday, September 10th, 2010, on a property in Pitt Meadows. The complaints include allegations of a sexual assault on a young female by a group of individuals. It also centers around postings or photographs of the sex act on the social network of the St. Louis. The photographs are child pornography, and our investigation is aimed at those aspects, and as well, obviously, a more serious rape. We already know about the partygoers having purchased tickets in advance. This event was publicized on Facebook and involves a number of youth in our communities who make the rape of the Meadows. On Tuesday, September 14th, 2010, our search crimes unit arrested a male youth for his alleged part in the sex assault and the production of child pornography. This young male has now been released and we're pursuing criminal charges against him. We also have leads on others and are actively investigating those leads.
It's no mistake that the girl was raped. She was likely drugged and abused by numerous people. Speaking as a woman, I can't even imagine what this young girl is going through right now and what she's going to have to live with. It's absolutely beyond my words. What's happened after this incident and continues to happen today is also beyond discussion. These photos are child pornography, period. They are being viewed, shared, saved, and reposted, and have been numerous times. This is an attempt that is so socially corrupt, it's actually sickening. The posting and viewing of the photographs is continuing to victimize this young girl and her family, and it needs to stop now. This is a very large party, and it is attended by a significant number of people. And we know that there are many eyewitnesses to this sexual assault. And these people need to do the right thing and come forward and help keep the people who do this responsible for their actions. Regardless of what some people believe they might have seen that night or think they might have heard, this was a rape. This girl could have been anybody's sister, daughter, or friend. And that's why I'm appealing to anyone and everyone request any information about this incident to come forward and cooperate with the police.
You're listening to People First Radio. There was widespread shock last week after a Metro Vancouver teenager displayed photos on the internet through Facebook of the gang rape of a 16-year-old girl that occurred at a weekend rave party September the 10th. Since that time, two arrests have been made and dueling Facebook pages have emerged, one in support of the girl who was assaulted and another in support of the alleged attackers, recently shut down by Facebook itself, which questioned the victim's claims and suggested that she was a willing participant in the incident. We're speaking with Safe Teen Canada founder Anita Roberts and Nanaimo Women's Resource Society Executive Director Leslie Clark. Tell us more about the reactions as we've read and heard about them in the media of the youth who were present at the rave. A young woman, for example, stated in the media that she believed the 16-year-old victim of the rapes was consenting, and one of the administrators of a Facebook page launched in support of the young men involved in the assaults, but recently shut down by Facebook, is a young woman who told the province newspaper that, quote, "We are trying to support the truth. The truth needs to come out," unquote. Anita Roberts.
This has been a phenomenon that has been around as long as, sexual assault has been around. And the phenomenon is that the victim is being blamed. And this happens not just boys and men that do that. Other girls do that. And the psychology behind that, as far as I understand it, goes something like this. If I can see that this girl dresses this way and acts this way and she flirts like that and she drinks or whatever and then she gets raped, well, she's asked for it. And if they can say, it isn't going to happen to me because I don't do those things, then it makes them feel safer. It's less scary for them. And there's also, girls competing with other girls for boys' attention creates that dynamic where, girls like to call other girls sluts, and sluts behave this way and sluts get raped. But it isn't true. Any female is at risk of being sexually assaulted regardless of what she's wearing. Most women who get raped are wearing blue jeans, ordinary clothes, not sexy clothes. It is a very serious re-traumatization of the victim or the target of this kind of behavior to be then blamed for it. What's considered socially normal, socially acceptable, flirtatious, sexually flirtatious behavior for girls, when there's a sexual assault, that's flipped on them, and they're now told that they've been asking for it. And it's just wrong.
Leslie Clark.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it goes back to what I was saying where, the idea is that girls are prey. And if this happens to them, then they somehow didn't adequately defend themselves. And I think what happens is it is that mentality that when other girls see it, it's like somehow it's the inadequacy of the victim. That
yeah.
She somehow was not able to defend herself appropriately or did things, brought it upon herself. And it is a way of other girls feeling safe or different and that it won't happen to them. And I think that's why we have to really kind of, now give girls the tools they need to keep themselves safe, but also put the message across to parents, boys, men, girls, that there is a responsibility on everyone's part, that it isn't just the girl's responsibility to keep themselves safe. There are other people there, and people did not step forward in the situation. What I'm finding so surprising, there's so much discussion around whether or not this girl deserved this. It's really, and that's what ends up happening. And it's hard to believe in this day and age that isn't, primarily what we need to be looking at is like, where's the responsibility around this in terms of how teens are interacting? And the other thing that I absolutely agree with is that we send these mixed messages. All of this stuff around, young girls and their sexuality and what they need to do to fit in and to be popular and everything else. And it does. And then it's flipped on them. When something bad happens, it's suddenly turned around on them. And yet that's their whole world is projecting images like this.
That's so true. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And the responsibility of the bystander, the kids that stand around and watch, with the Little Girl Slayers Club, they had the grade 12 boys who were doing it, but then they had this large pool of grade 11 and 12 boys who were betting on it. So what's the responsibility? Kids need to know not only what the social responsibility is and the morality piece, but what is their liability? Because my experience of teenagers is, you know, if you let them know where the risks are, where their liability is, you know, like if boys knew they would be arrested for distributing porn, they'd be less likely to do it. So we need to educate them about what their legal liabilities are. And education for boys, it's really effective. It is really effective to get in there and to help the boys take a look at what is manhood and actually just let them know they can actually choose what kind of man they wish to be. And let's look at what the different options of being a man look like, and let's start moving toward, behaving our way toward being the kind of man that they have chosen to be. It's very empowering for the boys, but we do have to reach them. You know, I think we need to reach them at puberty, and then we need to keep bringing that message to them, say in grade 7, again in grade 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. We need to help them make those decisions, those healthy decisions about their manhood. And this has to happen. Our society is really suffering, and girls and women are really suffering because boys are not being educated properly.
I'd like to thank both of you for taking the time to join us today. I really appreciated it.
I'd like to mention that there's a book called Safe Teen, and I am blowing my own horn, but it's a damn good book, and it really is readable for parents. Parents, educators, and teens will also read this book if you throw it out on the coffee table at home. And it's available through safeteen.ca. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Anita. Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you so much.
Anita Roberts is the founder of Safe Teen Canada. You can find Safe Teen online at safeteen.ca. Leslie Clark is executive director of Nanaimo Women's Resource Society. You can find the Women's Center online at nanaimowomen.com. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society, broadcast on Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of those organizations.